Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 452, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I am your host, Jeff Hallisch. And today I'm joined by myself, Jeff Hallisch. I just want to take this time to bring out an episode for you guys. And I know it's been about 4 weeks since we've had an episode of Podnuts Daily. So the question is, where has Podnuts Daily gone? And I'm here to tell you, it's gone nowhere. Matter of fact, I am experimenting today by doing this podcast myself. Not that I couldn't get anybody to do it, but I wanted to take some time and talk about some of the things that are going on in my life, some of the things that are going on in my business, some of the things that are going on for the podcast. So I want to, before we get started with that, I want to dedicate this show to my good friend, Paco LeBron. And the reason I say that, Paco, because the other day I asked Paco a question and he answered my question, but when he answered it, he said, "I want an episode of Podnuts Daily." So Paco, I hope you're listening, my friend. This is for you. Anyways, one of the things that I'm doing is this is a time of year when everybody takes the time and they look at their business and they say, okay, what types of things can I do to better improve my business? And one of the things that I needed to do is, and we've all done this, I have been using old machines as bench machines for a long time. Now, I know there's a lot of technicians out there that will actually use their primary machine as a bench machine. And what I mean by that is they will take a hard drive from a customer's computer, put it on their primary machine, maybe download the information on their computer. I personally have never wanted to do that because I don't want that stuff mixed with all the viruses and different things that are going on my computer. So I've used older computers that I've kind of handed down, and maybe I'm just using it to copy information off of a customer's hard drive. Well, there's some things with the older technology that you get into where I had bought a drive bay for an older computer, and I could put a hard drive and hook it directly up to the motherboard using the SATA port, which was awesome. Except that I had to go into the driver management and basically turn that drive on after I was already loaded into Windows. So with that being said, I basically built it's actually a hand-me-down. I actually bought my daughter, sold me her old computer, and it's only about a year and a half old. So some of these parts you might not be able to get, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to put them in the show notes and just kind of show you kind of where I've moved into. And I basically have an AMD A10 5800K. It's a quad core 3.8 gigahertz socket FM2. Great processor. It's got the built-in graphics card on it. It's got a DirectX 11 graphic AMD Radeon HD 7660D, which doesn't mean a whole lot. You're not going to game with this thing. Could you? Probably. One of the reasons I like this board is that I don't have to add a video card to it. And when you're just basically copying hard drives and doing things like that, there's no reason to have a great GPU on here. Now, could I? I could put a GPU in there if I want to. Maybe down the road, I'll find a need for it. Right now, I'm just trying to keep it simple and dust-free as possible. So the other thing a nice GPU will bring a lot of times is a fan will collect that dust. So this is one thing that's left out. Plus, it's a mini, I bought a Asus A78M -E FM2 Plus, and it's an AMD A78, and it's basically a micro ATX AMD motherboard, and it's a great little motherboard. It's small. It fits really nice. I bought 16 gigs of Crucial Ballistic Sport RAM, and it's the 240-pin DDR3 SD RAM and 1600, your normal RAM that you're going to get out there for most machines nowadays. It had 8 in it. I upgraded, made sure I had 16. The other thing that was irritating when I go to use my bench machine for anything, and I'm going to see how this is going to work because I really don't know. I would go from, using my primary machine, which has an SSD on it, and I would go to using this other machine that had a spinning drive on it, and a lot of times a little bit older spinning drive, and it was just so frustratingly slow to use it. So I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do this time. I put my older Samsung 840 Evo 256 gig SSD drive into my bench computer. All it does house my operating system and a handful of programs that I use. So hopefully the programs and things that I'm using for backing up and getting data off of other drives is going to be a lot faster than what it normally has. We'll see. I also put a Western Digital Red 2 terabyte NAS desktop hard drive in there. And it's a great drive for backing up my customers' information to a drive. And again, in order to have enough space, you really got to use the spinning drive. I don't want to use an SSD. And plus, if I have a problem with the spinning drive, a lot of times I can get that information back. I bought a EVGA modular. It's a semi-modular. It's not a full modular. 750 watt power supply. I like the EVGA power supplies. I've had good luck with them. I've got a 1350 in mine, and it works great. And the modular power supply I like because you don't have all those extra cables and things you don't need. So I basically have two regular plugins for a lot of your power. Actually, I've got three plugins on that particular power supply. And that's all I really needed. The rest is just your main connector, and that's about it. So it's a semi-modular. It's nice because it keeps the clutter out of that bench machine, which I really don't need. Now, the case that it was in, I didn't really like. It was a cheaper case, and I can't even remember the name of it. Anyways, what I ended up doing, for $50, I bought a Corsair Carbide Series 200R. It's a black steel plastic case, ATX mid-tower case. It's a great little case and simple. There's no windows. You can put as many fans in there as you want, which I find kind of funny. You could actually use that for a gaming rig, and it would be a perfectly good case for a lot of things. One of the things I liked about it, I had my bench machine was in an old Antec 900. Well, if anybody remembers those, in order to clean the fan screens, you basically had to pull the whole front of the computer apart where the hard drives are stored. So I had to slide that whole thing out. I had to take about 8 screws out, even though they were thumb screws. I had to pull both sides of the panel off. So this thing was just kind of a pain to work on if I ever needed to add a drive, change a drive, or do any of those types of things. I wanted to make it simple. So I've got this Corsair 200R, and it's a perfect, I can put up to 4 SSDs in there if I want. They slide in, lock in, all toolless. It's beautiful. The spinning drives I put in sideways, and they work perfectly fine. Again, toolless. I don't really have to do anything. The other thing I had already had in there was an Asus DVD writer, just to have it, just in case I need to write a DVD, which I can't remember the last time I've done one, but yeah, you never know. And they're so cheap anyways, you might as well at least have some sort of drive on there so you can, if you need to do something onto a DVD, maybe back up customers' computers or whatever, maybe a small amount of information, you can use something like that. The other thing I have in there, which is what was slow in my other computer, was a D-Shot aluminum alloy 5 1/4 inch bay tray. It's a mobile rack for 3.5 inch and 2.5 inch SATA 3 drives. And it also has 2 extra USB 3.0 ports. So I basically, on this machine, the other thing is my old case didn't have USB 3.0, even though I had the header on the motherboard to be able to power them. So I have 4 USB ports on the front of this computer, which is great because I can plug in external drives, copy information over there, move that back over to the customer's computer if I need to. Everything is lickety-split as fast as I possibly can. Now, USB throughput or USB 3.0 throughput is not always the best, but it's better than USB 2.0 in most cases. The other thing I put in there was so I could get the header on the USB 3.0 ports on the drive rack. Is basically I put in a USB 3.0 PCIe 2.0 card. And what that did was, number one, it has a header for putting it on the USB 3.0 ports, plus it gives you 2 USB 3.0 ports in the back. And what I've noticed from this card in my main system, those USB 3.0 ports are faster than what are on my motherboard. Now, I've got my motherboard's probably a couple years old, so this other motherboard's a little newer. Maybe there's not as much of a difference, but it just seems like through the PCIe Express port, or you can use the one for your video card, it works perfectly fine. It's fast. It seems faster than what comes with the computer itself. The other thing I have is a Logitech wireless touch keyboard, the K400. It's a great little keyboard. I wanted something a little more remote. I've been using wired keyboards and mice on my bench machines, mostly for troubleshooting. I'm not doing so much of that anymore. I still keep a PS2 mouse and keyboard around because there are some older systems, especially desktops, that you can't get to boot up unless, especially with the keyboards, you have a PS2 keyboard plugged in. So I still have those around, but usually I put those on the customer's computers and not my bench computer, which is already up and running. I'm just adding a drive to it, doing what I need to do. The other thing I have is it's hooked up to a BenQ 27-inch monitor, which, again, not a big deal. Now, all this stuff I just told you about is my bench machine. It's what I want for backing up things just to run so I can do things on my primary machine. Bench machine can do whatever it needs to do. The total for that, now again, some of these were used parts because I bought them off my daughter and I already had some of these parts, but if you put all the parts together, the total is about $550, which in my opinion is pretty inexpensive for something that's going to save me time and make me money. So that's what I did there. The other thing that I have worked on that I just had come up, and I have a Nexus 7 2013 tablet. And basically, I've been having the accelerometer did not want to work very well. And actually, it stopped working altogether. So anytime I tilted the tablet, it wouldn't rotate. So even though it was on, I checked all those. Anyways, what I ended up doing was I pulled the back of the cover off, and I had read online where you can basically take some tape, and I used the heat tape that you would use inside of a laptop, and I basically taped those connectors down. Actually, I took them out, reinserted them, made sure they were tight. I taped them down so that cable, and it's a big, fat, wide cable, was sitting there tight on both ends. I put the back of the cover on, fixed. All set. Everything works just like it did day one. So that was a neat little fix. Didn't take me that long to do it. And even though I don't use my tablet all the time, my kids actually use my tablet, and they need to, even though you don't really need it to rotate necessarily, because even when you go into a game, it's going to auto-rotate it for you anyways. But it was just kind of frustrating that it didn't work for whatever reason. And it sounds like this was a common problem, and this was the common fix out there. So maybe that'll help somebody out there. I also had a laptop with Vista on it, and it wouldn't update after I did a cleanup on it. So, and I usually, when I do a cleanup on a machine, I will go back and reset all the Microsoft stuff from, basically set it back to default settings. So if anything was changed or moved or whatever, that was basically able to be taken care of and everything usually works. Well, in this case, it didn't work. And so I couldn't get my Windows updates. I'm like, okay. And it gives you an error code. Obviously, you look up the error code and it doesn't really tell you a whole lot, except it led me to a form that basically would say that McAfee antivirus a lot of times would cause, because it's checking the software distribution folder, which is in the Win directory file. And because it's checking it, it can't work. Well, this machine didn't have McAfee on it, but it did have Kaspersky antivirus. So what I did was I shut off Kaspersky antivirus. Then I went into the Win directory file, which is percentage, WINDIR, percentage, / software distribution. Well, what I noticed was once I got in there, there was the software distribution folder where all your Windows updates go to be installed. And there was right next to it, there was a software distribution.old. Now, I might have had this problem. I've had this computer in before. I might have had this problem in the past. I'm not really sure, and I can't remember exactly. But anyways, what I did was I deleted the software distribution.old file and had Kaspersky off. Started doing the updates. Windows started updating. It did the updates. I was actually able to turn Kaspersky back on. And once I turned Kaspersky back on, what I was able to do was run the updates, and it ran no problem. So again, I'm not sure what I'm thinking it was the software distribution.old file, even though it shouldn't have been looking for that. But something in there just was not right. So anyways, hopefully that will help somebody. The other thing I worked on in my office was I'm trying to find spots to put things. And I get mostly laptops in, and I didn't really have a good spot to put them. So what I ended up getting was a closet-made stackable 24-inch wide horizontal organizer. And it's basically, if you look at them, they're basically designed as shoe racks for inside your closet. This works because it goes in between my door and my closet where my workbench is in my office. And it gives me four shelves, and I'm able to put laptops, their bags, parts, whatever. When I'm waiting on things, I can slip them right in there. And it's a perfect holding spot for laptops. And of course, it's full right now. I'm actually going to add, I've got two of them put together, so it gives me four shelves. I'm going to add another one because I can add that there, and it'll be just below my light switch. And that'll give me a couple more extra shelves because that even, I don't know where I had all these laptops sitting. They must've been sitting around the office and in different spots in their bags. And what I found was I was moving these things around a lot of times, and that becomes annoying after a while. So I wanted a spot I could put them. Hey, if they're ready to be picked up, I throw them in a slot. They've got their paperwork on there, and I can go from there. So that's one of the things that I've been working on in my office, kind of organizing, making things a little bit better. Now I want to go into, those were some of the things I did in my personal shop. Now, one of the things I want to go into is some of the reasons for doing these shows. Now, as a lot of you have seen, Podness Daily has not had a show for about 4 weeks. Now, we went through the holiday season. I get that. That's fine. I sent out an email to probably about 100 people, 100 different technicians that have communicated with me in some form or fashion over the years. And I usually get about no more than 50% response. And the response could be just, I know that they checked it because their email software told me that they at least opened it up. But other than that, for the most part, I don't get a whole lot of engagement back on that. People are like, oh yeah, that'd be great. But they don't ever send me any dates. So I want to go over the reasons for the types of shows that we do, or the types of shows that I do. The number one show that we do, which is live every week, it's on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And it's for about, I've cut it down to about an hour. We can go a little bit over sometimes, but I really want to dig in and dive in with a group of technicians that can answer some questions. We can answer some emails. We can take live calls on the air, which I would love to get some more of those. And we can basically watch a chat room and kind of engage with the chat room and find out what they're thinking about, some of the things that maybe questions they have. So there's a lot of different ways to communicate. But that show is basically for the business owners, technicians. And what I was always curious about in my business, and the reason I listen to podcasts, is that I'm always curious what somebody else does. And whether they've been in the business for one day or 20 years, doesn't matter. I learn something from everybody. And that's what's so important about these podcasts to me. So if I'm like that, I believe there are some other people out there that would like that also. So what I'm looking for, well, I'll stop right there. But that's the reason for doing that show, is for basically being an open book and trying to be a help to other businesses and other people out there that are just getting started in this business. So I hope that makes sense. I just want to say, without everyone involved up to this point over the last 20, almost 21 months, the show wouldn't be possible. And I want to sincerely thank each and every person that has been on this show and has talked about their shop, talked about what they do, talked about tools that they use, things that are of benefit to a lot of different people out there. Now, not everything's going to be for everybody, but there's always something that I can pick up and make my business better. And that's why I enjoy doing it. And that's why I enjoy talking to you guys, because it's so important to me. So basically, how easy is it to get on the show? Now, name another podcast out there where you can basically send the host an email in a time that you are available, which we'll get into that in a minute, but a time that you're available and you can actually come on the show. It's on Podnuts Daily, it's audio only. So that's the... And let me go back a little bit. So that is I talked about the live show, Podnets Daily. Let's talk about that for a minute. That basically is going to be That is the Tech to Tech show. That is for any tech, again, whether they've been in business day one or they've been in business for 20 years. This is where they can come and talk about things that they like to talk about that they probably, their friends and family could care less about. This gives you an outlet to come and talk about it, gives you an outlet to ask me questions, and we can engage in a good conversation that will enlighten a lot of different people and help them out. That's why we do Podnuts Daily. So how easy is it to get on Podnuts Daily? Send me an email. I record Podnuts Daily every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All you got to do is pick a Sunday. Let me know. Or actually, probably the best thing to do is pick a couple of Sundays and say, I'm available on this Sunday or this Sunday. And I will send you a calendar invite. I will send you an email back letting you know, yep, this is the date we're going to do it. And that's how easy it is. Now, how many other shows out there can you, as a business owner, technician, come on a show and share and talk about things that you love? I don't really know any other shows out there that do that. This is what we do, and this is kind of the unique thing that we do. And this is why it's only going to work if you guys are involved. Because you guys have a lot of the knowledge that I don't have all the knowledge. I know I may sound like I'm a know-it-all. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. I sound like I'm a know-it-all all the time. I don't mean to come off like that. I know a lot of things, but I don't know everything. So with that being said, I want to go back to, so Podnuts, the computer repair podcast, the live call-in show, we record that every Sunday at 4 to 5 p.m. And I was talking about that earlier. Same thing. If you want to be on that show, you're a technician, you're a business owner, send me an email. Give me a couple Sundays that you're available for that show. Now, here's the thing. There's two different shows, right? We talked about Podnuts, the live call-in show, and we talked about Podnuts Daily. Now, when you're sending me an email back, I would prefer if you'd use the two different email addresses. If you want to be on the Podnuts Daily show, go to podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. Name of the show at podnuts.com. Can't get any simpler than that. If you want to be on the live show, it's podnuts@podnuts.com. But I don't really care so much which email address you use. You can use whatever you want. You can use the contact form on the Podnuts website. It doesn't matter to me. Just specify which show you want to be on. That's all I need from you. Specify the show. Give me a couple Sundays to pick from, and we'll get you in the calendar. And I set my calendar. My calendar is set up for the year. So, I mean, I can add you in pretty much any month, 2-3 months out, if that's something that you want to do. Say, hey, I'm going to be ready at this point, or I'm going to make it a concerted effort to get on the show and be a part of the show. Again, this show doesn't happen without you guys. Now, you guys, if you want to sit here and listen to me talk, I might do this every once in a while, but I don't know that everybody's going to get a whole lot of out of me talking into a microphone. Now, to be honest with you, I find this very fascinating and actually kind of laid back a little bit, because I don't have to worry about any video switching. I don't have to worry about this, that, or the other. I've got my recording program. I've got my hardware recorder, and I'm sitting here talking into a microphone and basically talking to myself. It's very exciting. Not really. No, I really get a lot out of talking to each and every technician, business owner that's out there. And I want you guys to know you can be involved. And that is one way. It's free. I don't charge anything. You just come together. It's going to take a little bit of time. And we're going to kind of go over some of the things that some of you might want to think about if you decide to do this. And we do run into a few problems with technicians and their equipment and stuff like that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay out some of the equipment that you can use to get started to just be a guest on the podcast. And the first one is basically, here's the thing. If you use a headset, they're dead simple. It doesn't matter if you turn your head, because if I turn my head, you can't really hear me as well. So you don't really have to have any mic technique. You don't really have to know a whole lot other than how to plug a USB port or USB plug into a USB port on your laptop or desktop computer. So the first link I'm going to give you is the Logitech ClearChat Comfort USB Headset H390. It's about $24. spend a little bit of money in your business. That's going to give you good, clear, and actually a little bit deeper bass audio than some of the other things that are out there. And it's just, it's a great headset that works really good. I've used them on and off for years. And matter of fact, I probably have one sitting around here somewhere because they were such a great headset. So again, $24 on Amazon. I'll put the link in the show notes. If you want to come up a little bit higher than that, you can do that also. Now, it's not something I recommend because, again, it takes a little more technique. But some of you have asked the questions and are interested in maybe doing a little bit more. And the second mic I'm gonna recommend is going to be the Audio-Technica ATR2100 USB dynamic mic. Now, what's nice about this mic is that it's a USB mic. It has a little port in the bottom where you can plug your earbuds into. So now we have no speakers that we're using on the laptop or desktop, because everybody knows that if you play your live speakers, we will get feedback in the recording. It happens 100% of the time. Nobody has a great setup to where it doesn't happen. It's just part of the way audio is. So you buy a $5 pair of earbuds, plug it in the bottom of that mic, and you're good to go. So that's a great USB mic. But if you ever decide to go up and say, you know what, I'm going to get a mixer and maybe I want to start doing some of the podcasting and things myself, or maybe do my own show or whatever, you can take that same mic, hook an XLR cable up to it, hook it into a mixer, and now you've got a microphone into a mixer, and then you take that mixer, put it in your computer. So that's a great second mic. It'll work great for a lot of things. It sounds really good. Matter of fact, it sounds better, to be honest with you, and I've heard the different comparisons, than even some of the higher-end mics, and I'm talking $350, $500 range mics, that this microphone actually sounds that good. Now, again, you need to have a little microphone technique, whether you have a stand down in front of you, and you're basically, you're going to be about 2 to 4 inches away from it and basically talking into it. But anyways, the other thing is, if you want a good HD webcam. And it's amazing to me, when I first started podcasting, and even when I was just a guest on the shows, the things that I remember spending the money for webcams, and I had the nicer headsets and all that kind of stuff, and stuff has come down so cheap. So the webcam that I use is the Logitech HD Pro Webcam C920. It's going to give you 1080p. It gives you a nice widescreen look. Now, I know a lot of you have webcams that are on your laptops, which are perfectly fine. They work perfectly good. Now, I wouldn't recommend the microphone on the laptop because, to be honest with you, they sound tinny and horrible. And basically, whatever you have going into the recording, garbage in, garbage out. I clean it up a little bit. I give a little bass to everybody and try to do the best I can, but it's not 100%. So the HD Pro webcam Logitech C920, it's about $64. It's, again, not really that expensive. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a link in the show notes for the podcast equipment list, things that I've used or am using right now. And I'll put that list together. It's actually already up there. If you wanted to go to amazon.com, I think you can look for that list. It's a public list that I created because people have asked me over time, hey, what equipment do I get? How do I get started? What are some of the things I can do? So, all right. So let's see. Let's talk about the podcast. Okay. So I have recorded and produced, as of today, 183 podcasts in about 21 months. Now, some people might go, that's not a lot. And some people might go, oh my gosh, I don't know. How in the world did you do that? And I don't know. This is the honest answer. I know I worked way too much and was just doing a lot out there, but I've had fun with each and every one of them. I've learned from each and every one of them. And here's the thing. After 183 podcasts that I've recorded and produced, I still have a room for improvement. There's still things that I am learning today after 21 months. And so a lot of people, so don't worry about when you're just getting started. And I know a lot of you, and the reason I say that is a lot of you, and I was the same way, will want to come on the show, but you're scared to come on the show because you're nervous. Let me tell you, And I was just telling my wife this a few hours ago. A lot of people don't realize this. Every time, except for probably about 2 months ago, it went away. So we're talking about 18, 19 months. Every time I would sit down in front of the microphone, whether I was doing it live or pre-recorded using Skype or some other means, my heart would race like 100 miles an hour. I'm not kidding you. And as soon as the conversation started, as soon as everything was working, the recording was good, that went away. And it would go away quicker and quicker every time I sat down and did it. And I remember talking to Steve Cherubino, and I was nervous every time I came on the show. Now, I've had plenty of acting in the past and in different things that I've done that have made it a little easier and made it go away quicker. But the thing is, even all the things that I've done, I was still nervous because it's new. You don't know what's going to happen. You're a little concerned about what if you're going to say something stupid. And you know what? The thing I like about these podcasts in particular is they're just real people sitting down talking about real issues that can help other people out. And if you look at it like that, and I've explained this to a lot of people, is that it's you and a group of people that are basically sitting in a garage, sipping some iced tea, and basically talking tech. Again, something that you're probably, most of you, your family and friends could care less about. But this gives you an outlet where you're able to talk about the things you want to talk about. So let's go over some numbers here real quick. And the only reason I say this is I just want to explain my thought process, my mindset, where I'm at, and some of the things I see for this podcast and some of the exciting things that I think we can do as a community coming together. All right, so the Computer Repair Podcast, we have about 1,400 to 1,800 unique downloads per episode. Now, again, to some, that's a lot. To others, it's not. I will tell you that that puts us in the top 20% of all podcasts. And I'm not talking about just all podcasts. I'm all existing podcasts. This does not count podcasts that are pod faded. Okay. This is the podcasts that are out there right now. 1,400 to 1,800 unique downloads, which I think is great. And quite honestly, if it was only 100, it would be worth it to me because that's 100 people that are hopefully getting help from us talking. And that's really what it's all about. Podnuts Daily has about 1,200 to 1,400 unique downloads per episode. Now, I don't know what the difference is. I would have thought the audience was the same, but it's a little bit different content. Again, let's go back to there's a live call-in show, and I also bring on a product or service that will talk about their products or service on that show. And then you have Podnuts Daily, which is the show we're doing right now, and it's for computer repair techs, right? For business owners to be able to talk about things that they do. And so I don't know why the difference in numbers. And I will tell you too that when it comes to numbers, and I don't say this, I just say it like this. I'm very, very conservative when I look at the numbers because I don't want to ever overinflate anything more than what it is. And even though I possibly could, and I'll give you an example, I could have, and we have about 10,000 downloads for Podnuts, the live show, per month. Now, the numbers are a little screwed up right now because when we did our changeover on the website, everything got kind of messed up in the tracking. But we were at right around 10,000 downloads. Now, 4 episodes a month, I could say I have 2,500 downloads per episode. But the reality is I don't, because the thing is, if you actually look at it, we get about right around 1,000 downloads day one, as soon as the podcast goes live. And over a 6-week period, it creeps up to that 1,400 to 1,800. And some are higher, some are lower. I don't understand why that is. But my point is, I'm very conservative on the numbers because I don't want to sit there and go, well, we have 2,500 downloads per episode, because the reality is we don't. What what those other downloads are, downloads from previous episodes are counted in that month. So I just want to let you guys know kind of where we're at, and I'll let you know why that's unique in a minute. My hard drive died actually has moved up in numbers, even though we only do about once a month, maybe once every other month. And that show is at about 1,800 to 2,000 unique downloads per episode. Now, I just looked at the numbers today and I was like, wow, that's really gone up, because they were rated around 1,400 to 1,500 a few months back. So there's engagement that's coming in on the shows. And the reason I say that is, and I give you these numbers, is because I want you to know that being in the top 20% of all podcasts is pretty cool, as far as we have an engaged audience that actually cares about the things that we're talking about. And they also want to help and be a part of the things we're talking about. So I think we have a wonderful opportunity here to be able to come together and basically have an awesome community and make this show that much better and really help people out there. There's a lot of people that are going to start in this business all the time. Now, there's going to be people out there that say, well, they should learn the way I learned, School of Hard Knocks. Well, that's fine. That can be your idea. Here's my thing. As I've gotten older, what I've understood is I have a need in my life to give back. I've learned a lot. I know a lot. And because of that, I want to give back to other people. I want some people to maybe avoid the pains that I've gone through. And not only that, the reciprocal side of that is I also learn from all of you guys out there. I learn from each and every listener of this podcast. Emails that you send in. I learn from voicemails. I learn from being on the show. I learn from feedback, questions in different Facebook groups and stuff like that. I'm learning all the time. And to me, it's phenomenal. It's fun. And that's the reason for doing the show, because quite honestly, if I wasn't able to help others and also be learning at the same time, I don't know that I could keep this up. No, let's just be honest. And so I just want everybody to know that even with the numbers we have and the number of podcasts I've done, I am still learning a lot. And I'm trying to get better with communication. Now, if you send me an email, I reply to each and every email. Now, we probably get on average 3 to 5 emails a week. And again, maybe that's a lot. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But I enjoy the engagement I get from the emails and the feedback. And even when you just say, Jeff, enjoy the show. It's great. Thank you for doing it. That means so much to me. That simple, maybe 2-minute email that somebody could have sent out just makes my day, because it makes me know that what I'm doing has value and that you as a listener are appreciating what it is we do here. All right. And with all that being said, okay, so now let's move on to some of you have probably noticed there is a little change in how the podcast sounds. And probably for the most part, some people don't notice at all, which surprises me. And some people notice a lot, which is fine. I do notice, and I did know, but I have a new mixer. And thank you, Door-to-Door Geek, Steve McLaughlin, and actually thank you guys, because it comes through the Podnuts Network that he was able to purchase a new mixer for me, which actually has made my life a lot easier, even though we're going through a couple months of learning curve right now. And I think we've got some of it nailed out, and I'm also working on my editing technique to see if I can get how I can get the levels closer together between myself and the guests. And I'll be honest with you, even going back and listening to some of the older episodes, I've noticed that there's still, if you have certain types of microphones and all that kind of stuff, it really plays into that garbage in, garbage out. You can only do so much to clean up a message that's being sent over the microphone. So, but anyways, the new mixer I got was the Presonus Studio Live 16.0.2, and it's a 16-channel audio mixer. Now, what makes this mixer unique, and let me tell you, for most people, this mixer, especially for podcasting, is way overkill. But where it helps me is, number one, it has four auxiliary channels. So basically what that means is I can hook up a mix minus, which is what I use to record my guests. And so the guests can not hear themselves back when they're talking over Skype, Google Hangouts, or whatever we're using. And because of that, I can actually hook up four separate devices or computers to this mixer. On my last mixer, I only had two. And that's really all we have right now, is just two hookups. But what I want to do down the road, we'll talk about that in a minute, is I want to have the separate channels. Because I can do more in the editing process when I actually have separate tracks. And I know some of you out there are going, but Jeff, you can have people record their own audio. And I'll say, but listener, listen, I have trouble getting people to use Skype and Google Hangouts, and they're technicians and they have trouble with that. So that's all I want to do, is add something else in there for the vast amount of different guests we have on the show. No, thank you. So that is why I've always recorded on my end, because it's easier on me, especially when it comes to the editing process. We're not sharing files. So again, there are ways to do it with equipment and do it properly to where you can get a good signal and adjust each individual separately. And so down the road, this actual mixer, there's a couple cool things about it. Number one, it has a piece of software that's a control board that I can control from my computer. Now, this mixer also has all the knobs and the bells and the whistles and the buttons and everything that's cool on it that I can actually reach over and adjust. But for doing this show and sitting in front of my computer and talking in the microphone, now I don't have to lean over when I need to unmute it for a Skype call, a call coming in, or a voicemail that we're going to play off our secondary computer or whatever it is. And so that makes it really nice. I can make adjustments on the fly. I can move the levels up a little bit. Somebody's coming in too soft on a certain channel. I can boost that up. There's a lot of different things you can do. The other thing it has, which is, this is so phenomenal, it has a noise gate, which works so well. I can't tell you. I basically have to be in front of my microphone in order for you to hear me. So the noise that you hear in my office, if there is any, and there is, there's fans running on the computers and different things like that, you don't hear that because it's cut off, which is really cool. The other thing it does is, for, as a matter of fact, we were doing a recording the other night and somebody had people walking behind them and they were actually knocking on the door and they're like, hey, I'm so sorry, I've got to stop. And we're doing a live video recording. And I said, hey, no problem. I said, to be honest with you, I said, I didn't hear anything in the background because I have your channel. I have a noise gate on it and you basically have to be in front of your microphone in order for me to pick it up. It only picks up a certain decibel range. And I've been able to dial that in. So that's been really nice. The other thing it does, it will record 16 different tracks using a piece of simple software on my computer. It's called Capture. And it works so good and sounds so good that I actually, and Steve Cherubino used to beat me up over this, I actually use my backup recorder in stereo mode now, and I use it as a backup recorder. That's all it is. It's a backup recorder, and I use software. So if something were to happen to the computer or whatever, at least I don't lose the whole file. And it does its own unique things where it does backups and in different things in the background as it's recording. So the chances are, even if the computer were to die or the software were to crash, but it's so lightweight. I mean, it is lighter weight than my Google web browser doing a Google Hangout on air. That's how light a weight it is. And so it just runs and it just takes in the recording. And I use these little Behringer U22A, basically little sound cards, USB sound cards. They're just 2.0 sound cards I've plugged into both computers, running with RCA to quarter inch into my mixer, and it picks up the sounds perfectly fine. So I can make my adjustments in there and it works. So anyways, so those are some of the things that the mixer has helped with the show production. Now, going back to the levels, so I'm working on that. Give me a month or so. I've been working at it for about a month now. Give me another month or so to kind of dial some things in. Feel free to give me feedback. Just send me an email, podnuts@podnuts.com, and say, hey, your guest sounded, or this guest sounded low, or and give me the episode number so I can actually go back and listen to it. And I listen to these things on my smartphone using my USB, or not USB, my Bluetooth headset with the little earbuds in my ears. I use my desktop speakers. I use my headphones going through the mixer. So I listen to these in different formats so I can kind of get, hey, are we getting good levels overall? And really my test is where everybody's listening to it most of the time is on their smartphone. Maybe some are listening in the car and stuff like that, but on the smartphone, as long as it's got a good clear signal in there and you can hear the audio from yourself or myself and the guests, that's the most important thing. Now we're trying to work on, I've got a couple things I'm using to get the levels a little closer to where everybody's the same, but again, I'm learning. It's a learning process. All right. So let's go into basically how, with all that being said, here's how you can help. Number one, you can help by telling others. A lot of you use products and services, whether it be antivirus, whether it be backup, whether it be whatever, white label services, and those services not only are beneficial to what we do, they may be something, if you're using it, then maybe it's something that other people need to know about. But also, they have other technicians that they talk to on a regular basis. So through the grapevine, you can basically tell these people, hey, you want to come on a show and it's free of charge? And this guy, Jeff Hallisch, he's going to basically tell you or interview you, and it's low-key, laid back. He's not going to hit you with any hard questions or anything like that. You can talk about your product and service for free. It's free advertising. And then down the road, if people want to advertise with the show, that's fine. We can work on those things. But I'm not really concerned about that. I'm just concerned about getting the information out to each and every individual out there that might need it. And there's a lot of good products and services. And I'll be honest with you, really until I started podcasting, I didn't know a lot of the products and services that were out there. Believe it or not. I really didn't. And I started learning about some of the different products and services. And I was like, oh, I need to talk about this. I need to tell other people. So you can tell others. A lot of you are part of forums, Facebook groups, different things like that. What I've noticed in a lot of these groups is, and some people are probably going to beat me up for saying this, but the reality is 60, and I'll say this nicely, maybe 60% of it is fluff. And maybe there's 40% value in a lot of those things, whether it be a group or a forum or whatever, it doesn't matter. For some reason, people love to detract from the question asked. It's like, and I look at this stuff and I go, if you can't answer the question, then don't. But don't come back and ask a question with a question or talk about one time when you had hot pot pie out of the microwave and it slipped on the floor and fell on your laptop. It doesn't matter. Nobody really cares because the whole reason people are trying to get information. Now, there are channels. There are things that people can use for communication. We use Voxer all the time for the Podnuts group. You can use Slack. You can use Skype for all intended purposes. You can use Hangouts. There's a lot of different things you can use for that type of back and forth conversation. The forums, in my opinion, in the groups, that's kind of living information for, especially in the forums. You want that information to be searchable. You want it to be found by other people. And so that somebody else, when they come across that same problem, they can get helped and not have to read through 40 posts that have nothing to do with the question that was asked. So that's kind of where I feel we have a little more control over this show. Is that we can bring people in and talk about the day-to-day business and get real honest on-the-fly feedback. Whether it's the live show on the weekend, you can call in, or it's this show, Podnuts Daily, where we're just talking tech with other technicians and business owners. I think this is a great medium to get that information out there and really talk about, hey, what would you do in this situation? Well, here's what I would do. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Here's what I would do. Oh, okay, great. To me, that's on the fly, it's quick, it's easy, it's a regular conversation, and it's helpful. So that's one of the things you guys can do. Tell your other technician friends about the show. If they don't know what a podcast is, teach them. And to be honest with you, Podcasting is becoming popular, but you'd still be surprised how many people don't know what a podcast is. So tell others. It's free. You don't have to put any money forth. It's easy. You're just passing information on and in hopes of helping somebody else. Number two, you can send us emails. I answer every email. Now, the email, depending on the email, I'm generally going to always bring it on the show and answer the question on the show so you can get multiple feedback from different people, different perspectives. That's what it's about, right? And so send those emails in. Send emails in with, hey, thanks. Send emails in with feedback on the audio, the show, whatever. And don't get me wrong. Even if it's negative feedback, which again, keep it nice and respectful. But if it's feedback that's just totally negative and not really helpful, then yes, I'll still read it and I'll probably still take it to heart and I'll still look at and see if my process, what I'm doing, is actually a help or a hindrance to others. And that's really what I want to do. Yeah, I want to be honest with you guys. I want to be honest with myself when I'm doing this stuff. Because again, it goes back to if I can't help somebody, there's no point in doing the podcast. I do this because I want to help people. And I will just say, by the numbers of downloads, by the numbers of emails that we get on a regular basis, it seems like we are doing that here. There's those of you out there that are listening to the show, that enjoy it, that learn things from it, that maybe have some comedic relief sometimes. I don't know. I hit somebody in an email, and it'll be coming up here on another show, but I had somebody in an email tell me that our podcast was soothing. And I'm thinking, and that was the live call-in show. They said our podcast was soothing and they fall asleep to it. And I had to crack up. It's funny. I'm like, really? Okay. And that's awesome because again, it helps that person. They learn, they fall asleep. Hey, we do more things than we're aware of, I guess. So emails. Okay. The third thing is you can join the show live on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And like I said, it's about an hour. Throw it up on your computer. There's a chat room. You can go right to the podnest.com/live page, go to the computer repair live page. And basically you can get in the chat room, put in a name, boom, you're in a chat room. Sit there, watch the video right on the Podnest website, interact with people. And if you want, you can even call into the show, add to the conversation, say, you know what? I would do this way, or here's how I do it in my business, or call in with a question. Hey, what would you guys do in this particular situation? And then we can talk about it because again, it comes down to if you don't give us things that subjects, topics, whatever to talk about, there's only so many things I can think of. And so you guys, again, have been a great help in bringing us the content that we're able to give back out and help other people. So anyways, you can call in live. You can come on the show. Again, here it is again. Day one, year 20. Doesn't matter to me. I mean, if we do a podcast and it's so bad and there's literally no valuable information whatsoever, yes, maybe it wouldn't get posted or something like that, but I have not had that happen yet. So somebody always has a message to share. And again, you can ask anybody else that's been on the show. I don't bite, at least not hard. And it's just fun. And you will find out once you've done it one time, you'll go, wow, and here's what I hear every time. Wow, that was a lot of fun. I've never done anything like that before. That was really cool. I'm like, yeah, we've all been there. We've all said that. We've all done that. I was there too. I'm like, yeah, this was cool. This was a place I could hang out with my peers and actually talk about something that I wanted to talk about. And so I think that's awesome. So, yep, all you got to do is if you want to come on Podnuts, the live call-in show, which is 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday, just send me an email with a couple of Sundays that you're available at that time. And I'll send you a link a couple days beforehand, tell you what we're talking about. And I will basically send you a link maybe 15 minutes before the show, come in on the link, use Google Hangouts on Air. You get on there and we test everything. We go live. We talk. We answer some emails. We listen to some voicemails. Maybe get some calls in and answer those. And it's been a great day. So that's one way. If you want to come on Podnuts Daily, maybe you don't want to do the live thing yet. Do the pre-recorded, where it's basically just you and me, and we're going to sit there and talk tech. We're going to talk about your business, or you're going to ask me a question about something, and I can answer those questions live right there. That's going to go out on a podcast, but you're not actually live on a video and all that kind of stuff. It's basically radio only. It's going to be audio. And that's why I keep that show. I keep this show, Podnuts Daily, as an audio only show. I've toyed around with the idea and thought about putting it back into the feed and doing like a YouTube thing where we do the same thing with the live show. I don't want to do that because I want everybody to be able to feel comfortable. Hey, how many times have any gamers out there that game over Skype or use some sort of chat module that they use in their game where they can talk to other people? It's kind of like that. And basically, it's just going to be you and me talking about tech. And that's what we're going to do. If you have a subject you want to talk about, hey, I want to talk about, I don't know, USB thumb drives and how there's, what are good ones and what are bad ones. I'm just giving that as an example. But anything that you want to talk about that's going to help somebody out in the computer repair field, that's what we want to do. And so, again, I'm going to say this again. Anyone can come out and be on the show. We're the only podcast I know of at this point that makes that offer all the time. So take that with what it is. This is your opportunity to come on the show and just be a part of it. All right. So the other thing is what we can always, people have always asked about show notes. And let me explain this. Show notes, okay, real show notes are usually about whatever the podcast was. You might have a topic in there. Maybe you've got some long form or shorthand notes that tell about the show, each different portion. Those are show notes. What most people have on their podcast pages is links. Those are not show notes. Those are links. Now, to a lot of people, they are very important. So what we want to do and what we've been able to help have the help the guests so far help us with is when they talk about something on a show, sending us some links right after the show, I can add that into the show notes. I'll give you an example. John Dubinsky is phenomenal at this. He not only gives me some definitions for some of the things we talked about, some of the terminology, so people can actually look at it and understand it and just think about it. He also gives me some books on a topic we talked about. He also gives me some links about the software or whatever we've talked about on that show. So I'm able to add that stuff in and give you guys good information that you can go and check out at your leisure. And hopefully that stuff will help you in your business. And I find it fascinating because there's some books and things on there that he puts in there that I'm going to check out so I can find out more about what I need to do in my business, whether it's working on processes, whether it's building it, myself, hiring, whatever. All right. So those are, we could always use somebody that maybe is really good at listening and writing stuff down. Now, again, if you're not good at it or you don't like it, this is probably not a job for you. But if somebody out there wanted to help with the show notes for either of the shows, you could do that. Now, the live show we do on Sunday, you can listen to it on YouTube. You can listen to it on your mobile phone through YouTube. And take the show notes that way. It doesn't actually get posted on Podnuts until Thursday. So there's a few days in between there. If you get me the show notes, and even if you were to get me the show notes afterwards, I can still add those in. And a lot of times what I will tell you is on the show notes, what I like to do, because I don't necessarily like the format. There's not a good or bad way of doing this. I don't like the format of the HTTP :// yada, yada, yada. What I do is I will put a headline of whatever it is we talked about, and I will put a hyperlink for that inside of basically making links. Well, I guess the best way to describe it would be pretty links versus just the ugly links that a lot of us use because it's easier. So that's the only thing that when people send me the what quote unquote ugly links, I turn them into quote unquote pretty links. I just like how it looks better. It doesn't really matter, but I'm just letting you know for future reference. Another way you can help out the whole network is use podnuts.com/Amazon. And again, that's not going to change your price at all in what you're buying at Amazon anyways. It's going to give a little small percentage back to the Podnuts network to buy different things for the network, to pay some of the hosting bills and different things that come every year that we've got to take care of. So that's a real big help because, again, it costs money to actually podcast. I actually put money out of pocket myself. I spend $5 a month for a Skype in number, and I spend, I think it's another $6, so right around $11 a month for a Skype in number for the show. And that's what we use for calling. It was the best way that we could do it the way we wanted to do it, to where we could basically have a call screener that's going to screen the calls and send it over to me. And so that's what we decided to do. That costs money. It's not a whole lot of money. That's why I chose to do it regardless of whether I make any money or not. But the other thing, software that I use, different things that I bought, cables and all that kind of, there's all these little things that you put into a podcast, and whether it be equipment, software, whatever, that you pay for. And don't get me wrong, I mean, the Podnuts Network has been gracious and awesome, and they have bought me a lot of stuff over the last couple of years. But there's sometimes you just need something and you get it. Anyways, my point is, it does cost money to do this. And so there's different ways. I've given you all the free ways that you can give back to the show. And just being, and those are all ways of being part of the community, doing things that you do every day anyways, and just being a help to everyone inside this community. The last thing I'm going to talk about is I started a Patreon campaign. And for those that don't know what Patreon is basically it's supposed to be Patreon. The reason it's named that, it's a patron of the arts. Okay. And so back in the day, if you ever noticed and you go to a big museum, like in Chicago or something like that, well, a lot of times you can get in on Saturday and Sunday for free, right? Or some day of the week. Anyways, my point is, the reason you can get in on certain days for free is because there's patrons of that museum that think it's important enough for that museum and all the things in it to exist that they actually pay money so that people can come and enjoy it no matter what. And that's how they are patrons of the arts. They help with their money, patronage, and basically that's how it works. So Patreon is the same type of thing, except it's for what we do in podcasting, blogging, all these things where we provide value to helping other people out. Again, I told you it takes a little bit of money to be able to keep this up. Not only that, time and all that kind of stuff. And so one of the reasons I started the Patreon campaign was I wanted to see if this particular show could actually get some patrons. And I'm not looking for, if you can't afford to put a little money towards the show, I totally understand. And that's why it will always remain 100% free. But for those of you who can maybe afford a little something, and it wouldn't take much, $1 a show. We do 4 shows a month. And the extra shows, I actually, just so everybody knows out there, the extra shows that I've been doing with some of the products and services, I do not, it, those are free. I don't charge the patrons for that because I just don't feel it's right. It's a product and service that's coming out for a different reason. But even though it provides us value, it's also kind of sort of selling something a little bit. So I just do it on the shows where we do the roundtable call-in show. That's the only show that I put a Patreon account on. Couple reasons. Number one, I wouldn't want to do multiple shows. It's hard enough to basically get the stuff in there. It just takes extra time. So, but the reason I'm doing that is there are different things, and the mixer was one of them. that obviously Podnuts had bought me. And that was one of the keys to making the production value what we do here a little bit better. And so down the road, I want to do things like have maybe buy some new mini computers that I can hook into those extra aux channels. So now I can have separate channels for every guest that comes on a show, plus our call-in. There's software like Wirecast where we need to use a piece of software to basically, instead of using Google Hangouts on Air, which is free and works fine, we'd be able to use something like Skype, which quite honestly has better audio than a lot of the others, but it's getting better. So Wirecast, you'd be able to use with Skype or whatever and be able to have multiple instances going on separate computers, feed that through your mixer. Now you've got people on their own separate channels. I've got the recording software that will record each and every single channel. So I can do up to 16. I can plug in an iPad or an Android device or whatever. And I've got the ability to do that now. So those are some of the things that down the road I would like to do. And so when you guys give to what we're doing here, not only are you telling me that, hey man, you're doing an awesome job. I really, really appreciate it. And so I'm going to throw you a little bit of money. It's not much, but it's a little bit to help you in your cause so that you can help others out there that maybe can't afford a few dollars a month. And this is one thing that I really started looking at, especially in this field. We're computer repair technicians, and a lot of software that we use is free. And we always get mad or upset or concerned when all of a sudden that software is no longer supported and that person who designed it disappeared. And part of the reason is because nobody would give that person money. They did it out of their own good heart and goodwill. And in maybe the hopes of, they didn't really want to say it, but maybe in the hopes of making a little bit of money. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to do the show regardless. It has nothing to do with anything. I have many different channels of pulling in money. But one of the things I've always tried to do, and I've always done it in my personal business, is I've never spent my personal money in my business because I don't think that's right. And so I've always tried to keep things separate. Now, consequently, because of some of the things that I do, I've kind of rolled some of the things that I do in this business through this podcast into my business because I get paid to speak and do certain things and host shows. And because of that, I want to be above board on that. So I make sure that all the taxes and everything are paid on all that stuff. And therefore I can also write off equipment and do different things like that. But that being a side note, I want us as a community, I want to be able to offer giveaways. Now, yeah, it'd be great if I made so much money that I was able to pull money out of my pocket and just give stuff away every month and have a giveaway for the listeners. But the reality is I don't and probably won't. So I think that this is a great way that people can basically come together and support something that they believe in and that they want to continue on and to help other people out there, and they can give back in that way. And maybe we can do some cool giveaways where we're giving away tools and products and services and things that can help people out there that maybe they would have never got for themselves, but we can be a little light that basically says, hey, we care about you and here, check this out because we believe this will help you. And then in turn, that person is going to be able to talk about that products and service. And I know we can probably get some of the companies out there to actually give us stuff to give away to. And we'll definitely work on that also. But there's just a lot of different things I want to do with this podcast. I want to make it better. A lot of you probably don't realize this. I spend way too much time thinking about it, wanting to make it better, wanting to do good. And there's a lot of times where I try to tell myself that, all right, I'm not going to do anything with any of the podcasting stuff until 3 o'clock when I go to set up for the live show. I can tell you from the time I get up in the morning, I eat some breakfast, I sit down at my computer and I'm jamming away, whether it might be some emails that needed to get answered or I just start getting into some ideas, maybe adding some things, taking some things away, doing some adjustments here and there, testing my audio, whatever it is. And a lot of times I get sucked into this where basically my whole Sunday is like a podcasting day, pretty much from the time I get up. But even if not, my podcasting day, even on a Sunday, is from, even if I were to start at 3 o'clock, by the time I'm done editing, because again, I'm trying to be wary of my time. I try to get everything done on Sunday. I edit it, I post it, I get all the files and everything put together and all the notes and all that kind of stuff set on Sunday. So I start at 3 o'clock and I'm usually done 11, 12. That's the total time probably. Now, in between podcasts, I will get up and get something to eat and do some different things. But again, one of the things I'm doing this year, and it's kind of taking me a little bit longer, is I'm trying to learn my craft a little bit better. And I'm trying to work on some editing techniques. Because again, I was able to use the techniques and the equipment that I had for like 20 months. And it worked fine. But as we move new things in and make things a little bit better, there's little adjustments here and there that need to be learned. And so that's part of the process of why I'm spending so much time. And here's the bottom line. I do it because I love it. I really do. I love helping others. I love technology. I love the tech business. I really love what I do. Now, there are certain things, there are certain parts of it that are frustrating. But I'll tell you, my good friend John Dubinsky, who I went to the mall with, and we went to the Microsoft store and the Apple store, and that was all fun. Thanks, John. Appreciate that. And John said something to me, and we were talking about business, and we were talking about how he could maybe take some of the things off of his plate and help him out better. So I'm kind of throwing out ideas. That's what I do, right? I just throw out ideas. John's been doing this way longer than I have, but I'm like, hey, did you think about this? Hey, did you think about that? And John's like, yeah. And John says something to me that I really found fascinating. He said, you know, I don't really do anything outside of here. I've got my family. I do stuff with them. I don't fly quadcopters. I don't play video games. I don't, any of this stuff I don't do, except John, doom on you, because that stupid game you got me into, War Incorporated. Okay. What a time suck. Anyways, and it cost me money. But outside of that, John doesn't really do a whole lot. So one of the things he said to me was this, what he does on his day-to-day business is his hobby also. And I sat there and thought about that, and I go, that is a very unique way of looking at that. So I look at what I do with my computer repair business and with podcasting. This is my hobby, and that's probably why I spend so much time doing it, because I really love it and I really want the best information to get out there and help each and every one. So anyways, with that being said, let me just say that you can, if you would like to support the show with monetary money, whatever you want to call it, you can go to patreon.com/computer repair podcast. I think the monthly minimum is $1, but I have it set up to where I basically put it out per episode. And the reason I did that was I did that because if for some reason something happened to me, I didn't want you guys getting charged when I'm not actually putting out content. So I only wanted the people, the patrons that wanted to give to the show, I wanted them only charged when I actually had shows going out. That just seemed like the fair thing for me to do, because you never know what happens in life, right? So again, if you give for a little bit and it's not for you anymore and you want to walk away from it, it's perfectly fine. But it shows me that there's still an interest. There's still, people are still loving, and we're getting people that are giving to us all the time. So, I mean, it's new people are finding out about the show. We've got the YouTube channel now. We've got low number, but we've got 425 subscribers to our YouTube channel, which I think is great. That's a great amount of people that, for whatever reason, I don't understand why you people want to watch us on video, but whatever. Talking heads. And I think because we have a good time, we laugh. And I think maybe sometimes our mannerisms are probably a little more comical live than they are in the spoken word or being recorded. So I just want to say that I appreciate each and every one of you out there. And I thank you. I can't believe I've talked for an hour and 16 minutes, it seems like, or almost an hour and 15 minutes. I just appreciate each and every one of you out there. I appreciate every listener that listens to the show. I appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate any help that you can throw this way, free or otherwise. And let's make this 2016 a year of community where we really grow this community. Again, I'm giving you my pledge right now. I'm not going anywhere. This is what I'm going to do. Now, we can do cool things if we've got money to do it. If we don't, that's okay too, because we can still do some cool things. So there's no problem there. But I just want to thank each and every one of you for listening. And if you guys have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, again, it's very, very simple. Email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. Yes. If you're even just starting in this business, I just want to reiterate this one more time. If you're just starting in this business, you have something to share too. We all did. Or best of all, you probably have questions that you would love to be answered. Wow, what a great place to be able to come on a show where it's just you and me talking and you can ask the questions and we go down that path and look at what we're actually doing in our business. And maybe I make some tweaks in my business. Maybe you make some tweaks in your business and the listeners will get the most benefit from that. Because again, the curiosity is everybody wants to know what everybody else is doing. I don't know. It's human nature. It's what we do. It's why we stalk people on Facebook and different things like that. It's weird, but it's who we are. We're human beings. I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. And don't forget, if you guys need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNable Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. You too can help support the Podnuts Network. Next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everyone for listening to me drill on and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. My name is Jeff Halish. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.